Karen Cotty joins us now. Good morning, Karen. Let's talk first about those COVID tests that are going to be covered by insurers starting on Saturday. Private health insurers will be required to cover up to 8 home COVID tests per month for people on their plans. What do we need to know about filing claims here?
Insurance company is going to do it differently. At some point, it might be that you can get it for free right at checkout, and there's an insurance way to do that. But right now, it's basically you're going to follow what your insurer requires, probably keep that receipt, and turn it in. There's a portal where you can actually upload it and get your refund. And it doesn't sound like a whole lot of money, but if you have a family of 5 and you're taking these tests regularly, it could really run into some money. So, every little bit counts. And the insurance companies are mandated to do it. It will not go back before January 15th. But if you have purchased those kits, you can try to get them covered. Some insurance companies said they might do that retro before the 15th.
Do they make it purposely complicated and hard to understand when they send you those explanations of benefits?
I mean, oh my
really?
Gosh. who reads that stuff? It's, even for lawyers who do it for a living, and even insurance lawyers have trouble reading those things. Yeah, it just seems like following the rules for the insurance company, they're not user-friendly. But things have gotten a little bit better, and like I said, the portals are sometimes easier to navigate than you think.
Let's talk about the vaccine mandates and what the Supreme Court may or may not do here. What do you think?
Well, they heard argument last week, and this is on the federal mandate. This is not having anything to do with state mandates. And this is the Joe Biden administration's federal mandate that any employer over 100, they have to get vaccinated. I think the Supreme Court is going to overturn it. I have a feeling just from the arguments that were made and the skepticism among the justices that the court is going to find that this should have been a legislative mandate rather than an executive branch mandate, and that that was the way to go rather than what he did. But we'll see, and it could be that the court issues a stay of that order, and in during which time they will then write the full opinion.
Interesting story about Northwestern, one of 16 universities being sued for allegedly colluding to limit financial aid. Talk about this. What do you foresee here?
Yeah, this is an interesting one, Bob. This is a 60-page lawsuit, and it implicates some of the best laws, best schools in the nation. Basically, what they're saying is that they colluded with each other to kind of manipulate who they were going to give financial aid to. There were some allegations that the wealthier people who didn't need as much financial aid were given preferences when it came to admissions, which was against the antitrust laws. These are very complicated laws, and they're set up to try to make sure that everyone has a fair deal and there's no unfair competition among schools. But according to this lawsuit, which seemed to be well-researched, the schools were actually not doing that. Colluding in some ways to diminish financial aid to certain students that were middle class or working class.
So the lawsuits were filed by 5 former students, right?
Right, but it's a class action, which means that any student that was affected by it for the past, 10 years or so can join the class, and there is believed that there are about 170,000 students across the country that are affected that could possibly join this class and get the benefits of the lawsuit.
And let's talk for a minute about the felony charges that were dropped against the man who bought Kyle Rittenhouse's gun. What did you think of that development?
Well, it makes sense if you recall that in Kyle Rittenhouse's trial, right before it went to the jury, the judge dropped the charge of a legal gun to a minor as to Kyle Rittenhouse. And the judge said that because the law in Wisconsin was so poorly drafted, it basically said that it is okay for a 17-year-old to have a long gun, just not a short gun, because this was a long gun. that technically he was entitled to have that gun. So therefore, the person who bought it for him wouldn't be guilty of supplying that to a minor because it would have been a legal gun, not an illegal gun. So those charges were dropped. I think he got a slap on the wrist, some sort of ordinance violation, and a $2,000 fine. And although it seems wrong that the guy who bought a gun for a minor who shot and killed two people and wounded one walked free, that's the way it went here.
That's the way it is, as Walter Cronkite used to say. Karen Cotty, more from her on the radio here on WGN Sunday afternoon from 3 until 5. And if you have a legal question, you can email Karen. The address, WGN@AskKarenCotty.com. And that's Karen with a K and Cotty is C-O-N-T-I. WGN@AskKarenCotty.com. Thanks, Karen. Have a good day.
Oh, you too, Bob.